the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Alicia Quibdo. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
Happy first day of fall.
Yeah.
90 Yay. Degrees, but happy first day of fall, right?
Thursday of fall. It won't feel like it, but...
That's right. Officially on the calendar, it is. So let's start off this fall morning in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O God, who founded all the commands of your sacred law upon love of you and of our neighbor, grant that by keeping your precepts, we may merit to attain eternal life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Saint Lorenzo Ruiz and companions, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have events in our listening area we will give you details about. You can also submit events for free at our website at ccradio.live. Click on events and news, then click on submit your events. We've been getting a lot of them lately, so continue to send those our way. David Negliarari joins us in 18 minutes. He's the director and producer of the film Mother Teresa, No Greater Love. You guys, there was a Rome red carpet. It's gotten the attention of the Holy Father. And it's also, they also had a red carpet over in the United States in Washington, D.C. So this film, I think, is very timely, but I'm looking forward to talking to David about this, learning a little bit more. In 35 minutes, David Dawson Jr. joins us. He's the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Homer-Thibodeau. And every Thursday, he talks about marriage and family life topics. Well, today he's going to talk about relationship with our neighbors. So this is going to be a great interview with Dave. Looking forward to that one. And in 48 minutes, Gina Marie Tennant joins us to talk about her book called Louis and Zelie, The Holy Parents of St. Therese. Looking forward to this interview, Damian, with Gina Marie. We've had her on Wake Up before, and love talking about the parents of St. Therese, or great and holy people. So it'll be a great interview.
And her novena, St. Therese's novena, starts today. So I'll be participating in that. As far as weather goes, hey, no change, which is good news. Another sunny day, very few clouds. Temperature, though, is going to be 98 degrees is what is projected. Won't feel that way, only because humidity is hovering around 50%, which is the good news, because if it was 70, 80%, it would be so muggy you wouldn't want to go outside. Winds are going to be also out of the north-northeast, and that's going to make it a little more pleasant as well, breezing at around 5 to 10 miles an hour, so it really won't feel too bad outdoors. Low tonight should be around 73. Temperatures in and around the area right now, Gulfport and Mandeville, both reporting 75-degree temperatures. Elsewhere, Homer-Thibodeau and Baton Rouge, it's 76. And New Orleans, it's a nice warm 81 in the Crescent City. Those are your temperatures. Gabby, how was New Orleans, speaking of the Crescent City? For the couple days you were down there, did you enjoy being with all those priests?
I did. It was a great time to see so many priests and just to be back in a conference setting. It was a great time, and we enjoyed being there. Looking forward to the next one.
Well, we enjoyed all the activities that took place there that you were sharing with us on Wake Up each and every morning. And I know those guys put a lot of work into it, those guys meaning Father Michael Alello, Father Chris Decker, and a few others just from our diocese in Baton Rouge. So good job, one and all. Don't go too far, because we've got more coming your way. It's 5 after on Thursday morning on Wake Up.
today's gospel is taken from Luke chapter 9. Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed because some were saying John has been raised from the dead. Others were saying Elijah has appeared. Still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen. But Herod said, John I beheaded. Who then is this about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The first mission of the apostles and the work of Jesus was so successful that Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done. Undoubtedly, this insecure Roman puppet who ruled in Galilee and Persia had spies that gave him regular reports on their activities. Called Herod Antipas, he was the degenerate son of the evil Herod the Great, who attempted to murder the Christ child. Eventually, Antipas was deposed and exiled to Gaul, modern France, by the perverted emperor Caligula. His marriage to Herodias, who was both his niece and his brother's wife, caused him to be publicly reprimanded by John the Baptist. Herod's guilt over his murder of St. John the Baptist and his superstition made him fearful that Jesus was John raised from the dead, or the appearance of Elijah or one of the other prophets. Men who lead evil lives are never at peace, even when they are surrounded by luxury and power. He wanted to see Jesus. This wish would be fulfilled on Good Friday. Pontius Pilate sent Jesus to Herod in an effort to free himself from the burden of deciding Jesus' fate. He used the pretext that Jesus was from Galilee and hence one of Herod's subjects. After Jesus refused to answer his questions, Herod sent Jesus back to Pilate. Herod Antipas achieved some worldly success, but his life was characterized by intrigue, murder, self-indulgence, and debauchery. His life ended in exile in the backwater village of Laudium. Jesse Rittenhouse makes a strong point in his poem Wage that applies here. I bargain with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty score. For life is a just employer. He gives you what you ask. But once you have set the wages, why, then, you must bear the task. I work for a menial's hire, only to learn dismayed that any wage I had asked of life, life would have paid. This reminds me of Whittier's observation. Of all the words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these. It might have been. May it not apply to any of us. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sayers.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Father Chris. And thank you for listening to Wake Up. So glad you could join us. Got a number of events taking place in and around South Louisiana that we want to share with you. In particular, if you are a golfer, perk those ears up, get those clubs ready, because the St. Jude Catholic Church Booster Club in Baton Rouge will be having their annual golf classic this coming Monday, September 26th, at Santa Maria Golf Course in Baton Rouge. It's a four-man scramble, 10 a.m. shotgun start. Team entry fee is $600. Top three teams are going to win awards. There'll be a number of other prizes and contests taking place. And if you make a hole-in-one and you have a child going to St. Jude Catholic Church, you get free tuition.
Wow.
So,
oh my
that's
goodness.
Not bad. Proceeds go to support St. Jude School's athletic program. If you'd like more information, just go to stjudebr.org. stjudebr.org and sign up while you can.
Wow. That's pretty exciting, but you can't beat this one.
Okay.
Relics of St. Padre Pio.
Oh, my man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at St. Anthony Catholic Church in Gretna. That's tomorrow, September 23rd. So his relics will be venerated tomorrow. There is an 8:30 a.m. Mass with the school children, followed by public veneration and blessing with relics, as well as prayer teams until Mass at 6 p.m.
The rosary will be recited at 10 a.m., noon, 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. The Divine Mercy Chaplet will be recited at 3, and that's St. Anthony Catholic Church in Gretna. And you can call their parish office if you want details. Again, St. Anthony in Gretna.
And that's his feast day tomorrow, by the way.
Yes. Beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. Well, also happening in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, this is going to be happening at St. Catherine of Siena in Metairie, but the overturn of Roe. How, why, and what now? This is happening on September 28th in the Barrett Complex of St. Catherine of Siena from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Ben Clapper, Executive Director of Louisiana Right to Life, and Angie Thomas, Associate Director, also with Louisiana Right to Life, will answer questions and address other topics concerning the pro-life movement and legal status of our country and state of Louisiana. For more information, you can visit scschurch.com/pro-life. And I have to say, you guys, these two people know everything and anything about pro-life movement and activities in the state of Louisiana and in the U.S. So they're the perfect people to answer your questions. So
they're the authorities for sure. Well, guess what? Big activities taking place in Lafitte. The Bull Shrimp Cook-Off, all-you-can-eat bull shrimp coming up.
Hey,
that's going to be September 24th, which is Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. So you got a lot of time to consume a lot of shrimp, I can tell you. It's St. Anthony Parish Hall, and music is also going to be provided from noon until 3 by Nashville Sound, and then more music comes your way from 5 to 9. Advanced tickets are $20. That is a steal.
Right.
$10 for kids ages 6 to 12. That includes one hamburger and fries for the kids if they don't want the shrimp. And then admission for children 5 years and under is free. Tickets at the door, $25, still a heck of a deal.
Yeah.
There's going to be Mass on Saturday at 4 and Sunday at 9. Otherwise, St. Anthony is having a lot of shrimp, the big shrimp cook-off. If you want more information, you could also call 504-689-4101. By the way, that's at St. Pius Church. But it's St. Anthony Hall where they're having the event. Got me all excited.
Awesome. I know.
I got to head to Lafitte on Saturday.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
The heck with the football games. All right, folks, 15 after the hour, and we're going to be back with some folks you're going to want to hear about here on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 22nd. Today we celebrate Saint Lawrence Ruiz and Companions. An accusation of murder against today's saint changed the course of his life and indirectly led to his martyrdom. Lawrence Ruiz was born in Manila in 1600. Educated by the Dominican friars, he was an altar server as a boy and joined the Confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary as an adult. A professional calligrapher, for several years, Lawrence and his wife, Rosario, lived a quiet, peaceful life with their three children. Whether or not local authorities had good reason to connect him with a homicide is unclear, but the threat of arrest led Lawrence to steal away to Japan in 1636 with several Dominican missionary priests. All were arrested shortly after arriving in Japan and transported to Nagasaki, where many Catholics were being persecuted. Along with the Dominicans and other prisoners, Lawrence was subjected to unspeakable tortures. In September 1637, they were hanged upside down and tightly bound to slow circulation and prevent a speedy death. The first Filipino martyred saint, Lawrence Ruiz, and his companions were canonized in 1987. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour on Wake Up. We are joined by David Naglieri. He is an Emmy Award-winning documentary filmmaker, writer, producer, director, founder, and president of Inner Citadel Productions. Most recently, David directed and produced the film Mother Teresa, No Greater Love. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Great to be with you. Thank you for having me on this morning.
We're so happy to have you with us. So, I think everyone loves Mother Teresa. There is something about Mother Teresa that people from all walks of life and all faith traditions see in Mother Teresa. So why Mother Teresa for this film?
Well, I'm blessed to have been asked to make this film by the Knights of Columbus. There's a very close working relationship and great trust between Missionaries of Charity and the Knights of Columbus. And, you know, Mother Teresa died now 25 years ago, so there's a whole generation graduating high school, college that has no living experience and memory of Mother Teresa. And the Missionaries of Charity wanted to make a definitive film to tell her story for new generations. And they explored Hollywood scripts and feature films, but they couldn't really settle on the right script, the right story, the right actress. And several years ago, they started thinking about a documentary film. And I've produced many documentaries with the Knights of Columbus, including one about John Paul II and the fall of communism, which the Missionaries of Charity liked very much. So about a year ago, they turned to Supreme Knight Patrick Kelly, asked him if he would be willing to take on this project as a Knights of Columbus project. And I'm very grateful he said yes and asked me to write and direct the film. And so this is a kind of a new, fresh look at Mother Teresa and her living witness, because the film is not only a biography of Mother Teresa, her life, but it also explores all the incredible work being done by the Missionaries of Charity all over the world in service to the poorest of the poor.
Wow. We're so fortunate to have Missionaries of Charity here in Baton Rouge. And they do wonderful work for the poor in our community. So this film was filmed on five continents. Tell us about the filming of it.
Yeah, so we had to make some decisions early on how to tell this story. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to just do a traditional linear chronological biography. Mother Teresa was born on this date, and have a narrator kind of regurgitate all the facts. You know, a lot of times it's much more powerful to show than to tell. Mm-hmm. And I think you can understand much better who Mother Teresa was and what her mission is, not by having somebody tell you facts about her life and dates, but by witnessing the work of the Missionaries of Charity today. So we traveled to Tijuana, mm-hmm. Mexico. We filmed the Missionaries of Charity working with migrants and refugees. We filmed on the border of Venezuela and Brazil, where the Venezuelan refugees fleeing the terrible civil and economic conditions in their country.
Wow.
Are destitute or being helped by the Missionaries of Charity. We filmed in slums all over the world, where they're helping people who are drug addicts, severely disabled children. So we filmed on five different continents, but really the idea was to show the work they're doing and give kind of a viewers a visceral sense of this love that Mother Teresa poured out for the poorest of the poor, and that it continues to be poured out through these incredible witnesses to her faith and the Missionaries of Charity.
Wow, that's wonderful. So we're visiting this morning with David Negrieri. He is the director and writer of the latest movie about Mother Teresa, Mother Teresa, No Greater Love. Now, it is only airing for two days, correct, David?
Yes, it has a two-day theatrical release through Fathom Events.
Okay.
So we're closing in on 1,000 theaters. We're very excited about the opportunity. The website's motherteresamovie.com. And if you click on tickets, you could put in your zip code and see if it's playing in a theater near you. And good chances it will be. It's playing in 1,000 theaters. But, yeah, it's Monday and Tuesday, October 3rd and 4th. And right now it's a two-day theatrical release. We're hoping that we'll have additional dates added. But
okay.
For now, it's those 2 days.
That's wonderful. So they are expecting this to sell out. So visit MotherTeresaMovie.com. I did check. It will be in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Harvey, Covington, Biloxi, D'Iberville, and Gulfport. So there are several places, even more in our listening area. So MotherTeresaMovie.com to get your tickets. Again, it's only two nights, October 3rd and 4th. And I think this is a movie people will not want to miss. So tell us, can you give us a couple of takeaways that you took from filming this and witnessing the Missionaries of Charity in action?
Yeah, I mean, I think this movie can touch people in a lot of different ways. If you invite a friend who's fallen away from the faith or is jaded about organized religion, mm-hmm. You know, when you witness the work of the Missionaries of Charity, it's quite arresting and it's quite convicting. I myself had a lot of times when I was on the filming set would just kind of be overcome by emotion and have to kind of walk upset. And I had read that Malcolm Muggeridge, who produced the film Something Beautiful for God, which was a documentary film, later turned into a book as well, that launched Mother Teresa to fame back in 1969. Similar thing with him. When he was filming The Missioners of Charity, he also often had to just kind of walk away, be overcome by tears, witnessing the work they do. Because when you watch them take care of a severely disabled child, feed a little baby with hydrocephalus, a big swollen head, or working with these very, very destitute people outside Rio de Janeiro and Cracolandia, Crackland, these drug addicts that are not even allowed into the slums, you're really witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're witnessing this outpouring of grace. There's a lot of powerful testimonials in the film of people whose lives were transformed by Mother Teresa. We have a lot of words of Mother Teresa. We explored a lot of archives all over the world to find unknown interviews that she gave. So you get the opportunity to hear from her directly as one of the great saints of the 20th century. So I think it's a film that can powerfully inspire your faith if you're falling away. And if you're a person of committed faith, to strengthen it. There's a lot of wonderful and beautiful reflections in the film about her Eucharistic devotion. Mother Teresa really connected the Eucharist to the poor because she felt the same Christ hidden in the Eucharist was the Christ hidden in the poor. And as we work towards the Eucharistic revival in the church in the United States, what a beautiful testimony she brings about our Eucharistic faith. So there's a lot in the film that people can take away from. One of the remarkable lives in history and an incredible saint, and is just a great privilege to be able to produce this documentary at this time.
Wow. It sounds wonderful. Again, Mother Teresa, No Greater Love, that's October 3rd and 4th. It will be in our listening area. Visit motherteresamovie.com to find out theaters and times near you, and you can go ahead and purchase those tickets. I'm guessing it's going to sell out. So there's hope that there may be, or you may have later dates of the movie, David?
Yeah, I think the way it works with Fab Events is based on the turnout. They will potentially add additional dates. So we got our fingers crossed that'll happen. We're very excited about, you know, reaching a new generation of Mother Teresa. And whatever happens, we'll be exploring other ways that people can view the film with streaming and DVD down the road. But right now, our real focus is on this two-day theatrical release. And then we want to work on a lot of international versions as well, foreign language versions, because Mother Teresa was a global figure.
Yes.
And she made a global impact, and her message is relevant all over the world. So we're actively exploring that as well. So yeah, we're very excited about this theatrical release and really appreciate the opportunity to come on this morning and share a little bit about the film.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, David Neglieri. He is the writer and producer of Mother Teresa, No Greater Love. Check it out. Give us that website one more time, David.
Yes, it's motherteresamovie.com. There's no H in Teresa, so motherteresamovie.com. You can click on tickets and purchase in either individual or group. If you want to organize a group in your parish, that's a possibility as well. So MotherTeresaMovie.com.
Okay, excellent.
I was just curious, David, any major revelation or impact that took place while you were in the production phase of this? Because it seems like every time there's a movie made about a saint or Jesus, something happens to someone.
Well, I think a lot of people, a lot of members of my film crew and those of us involved were deeply touched and inspired by the experience. And I think everybody takes away something different. For me personally, what I found very convicting about Mother Teresa, what I learned about her, was just, to me, she's a perfect blend of truth and love, of justice and mercy. So in the film, you see her in 1979. She gives her famous speech when she wins the Nobel Peace Prize, and she shocks all the world leaders because she says, "I believe the poorest nations are those that legalized abortion." She called abortion the greatest destroyer of peace in the world. And she would do that time and time again. She was a woman of great courage. She would stand up for moral truths. At the same time, she was completely non-judgmental in her personal relationships with people. And she was this incredible font of God's love and mercy just pouring forth into other people. And this led to so many conversions and led to so many people having transformative impacts on their life. One of the examples is Jim Wahlberg in the film, the older brother of the actor Mark Wahlberg, who encountered her in prison when he was doing a 9-year prison sentence for robbery. He was a drug addict. He did not have an understanding of a merciful God, and she was just a perfect reflection of that and touched his life. So I think a lot of the differences and conflicts within the church, within the society, come down to where you stand on that line between love and mercy, truth, justice, etc. And Mother Teresa shows us the path forward because she has the mercy without giving up the truth. And so that was one way she very much inspired me. But I think, you know, anybody could take away anything from her and grow many different ways because she was just, you know, had such a close union with Jesus. Mm-hmm. That it emanated from her and touched mm-hmm. every aspect of her life, and the film I think tries to articulate that, and you hear it directly from her through her words, and you also see it in the mm-hmm. actions of the missionaries of charity, how they carry forth that love. Mm-hmm. So because of those reasons, I do think this can touch people's lives and touch their souls.
Thank you so much, David Neglieri. Mother Teresa No Greater Love will be in theaters October 3rd and 4th. Check it out at motherteresamovie.com. It's 1:30 on Wake Up.
It is 1:35. Thanks so much for tuning in to Wake Up this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Alicia Quibido. Hey, if you have Netflix, Father Stu is actually on Netflix, and it is the number one trending movie right now. So go and check it out if you have not seen it already. I actually have not seen Father Stu, so I am really excited to watch it today. And I'm really excited to see that it is now number one trending. So definitely check that out if you have that streaming service. David Dawson Jr. joins us next. He's the director of the Office of Parent Support for the Diocese of Home with Thibodeau. And every Thursday, he talks about marriage and family life. And today's topic is going to be about relationship with our neighbors. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you. How are we doing?
We are doing great. And when I got this topic, I'm actually really looking forward to learning more and speaking more. I love my neighbors. Relationship with our neighbors. That's a touchy topic.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. I think our neighbors are kind of like family members because you don't choose them. You're just kind of, you know, you wherever you are, that's where they are. And you don't choose them. There's really no escaping them. And so we've got choices to make as far as how we handle that. I think a lot of times, you know, with family members, we could try to escape, but we know we shouldn't. I think with neighbors, however, it's funny how if we've got a relationship with them, wonderful. If we don't, then it's typically like it's either positive or negative. I think a lot of times we try to escape, you know, interaction. We try to escape the demands of people that we don't know super well, people we haven't chosen. And what ends up happening, we hope that, like, there'll just be kind of a neutral relationship or there'll be no relationship. What happens instead, it ends up being, like, negative. Like, there's this assumption that we probably don't like each other, you know, until we're forced to talk. And then we're like, oh, wait, they're a nice person after all. And I think that assumption, it comes from the fact that, like, we're right next to each other. I mean, we're like, or right across the street or whatever. And if you choose not to talk to me, it's obviously because you're not a good person, you know? Whereas I might do the same, and it's not because I'm not a good person. I just don't feel like having to deal with other people, especially if they're not friends. You know, I didn't choose them. And especially for me as an introvert, you know, if it weren't for my wife, who's like an extreme extrovert, I probably wouldn't have a great relationship with my neighbors. Just because at home, I'd rather just be in a cave and just kind of not think at all. But I've got a wife who is fantastic at saying hello to people she doesn't know, we've got phenomenal relationships with a number of our neighbors, and I am incredibly grateful for that because she's done all the hard work for me. But, like, I think what I've learned through that is just the huge benefit, and honestly for me, the huge growth opportunities it's been for me to have to, like, really choose to say, look, these people I didn't choose, but, like, these are people that have got dignity, and, like, that just like family, we belong to each other. We belong to each other in a way that it's hard to measure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we're all in different journeys in our life, all walks of life. The people that are around our house age from range 30 to age 80. So, you know, and that we're also helpful. And I think it's really good, especially for first-time home buyers, or, you know, like my husband and I, we really didn't know how to do anything. And to have a neighbor that knows how to do everything, you know, they can fix that toilet, they can put that thermostat in or anything like that. It's so helpful to know that they are right there and they can be helpful, or when you're out of town, you know, they can pick up your mail for you. I'm not saying all neighbors are like this, but I know through my experience, we've just had really helpful neighbors. We've just been blessed in that way.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think honestly, from our experience, and we live in a few different places, most people tend to be like that because there's a sense of, like I said, there's a sense of belonging that, like, you know, if your house is not taken care of, if your stuff's not taken care of, I feel it because we live in the same, you know, almost the same piece of property. You know, like we have we're in the same area, and there's a sense in which even if we don't think the same way or believe the same things, there's a sense of belonging to where, you know what, I want you to do well because, you know, I can relate because you live right there. So I think to take advantage of the fact that there is a natural tendency to care for one another. There is. And I think the wall that's between us is thin. I mean, emotionally, relationally, it really is thin. And if we're willing to kind of do some push and punch on through, it's amazing how we'll find that there are people who are concerned for our well-being and we're concerned for theirs. And there's a huge gift there that I think we can miss if we tend to, you know, like I said, though, I tend to want to just hide, you know, and not have to deal with the demands of the otherness of the other people.
Yeah, I've seen enough Fear Thy Neighbor on ID to know that the wall is very thin. But Dave, you know, even just a wave when you get home from work or school, even if you're exhausted, you know, can be really good as well. But talk about for those who are maybe struggling with getting to know their neighbor or really don't have a relationship with their neighbor. You know, how do you go about that? You know, is it just, you know, a wave and then kind of go your separate ways? What do you recommend?
Yeah, I think honestly, what makes it hard sometimes, especially if like I've lived here a little while, we've never really talked, there's this assumption that the longer we go without talking, the harder it is. You know, it's like a bad breakup. It's like, I just don't want to tell them. And then the more I wait, the worse it gets. The truth of the matter is, what I've noticed is that, you know, even if it's been a while, if you just push through that wall, it's amazing how much receptivity is typically there. Unless a person's really going through some mess and they're having a really hard life, they typically want to be able to connect, and it's hard for them too. So I think even the smallest thing, it doesn't take much. Like, it feels like a lot of times we're going to be rejected, or we're going to be like, what the heck are you doing talking to me? I don't know you. We don't belong to each other. But the truth is, I think what we'll find is if we just to walk across the street and say, hey, when they're outside, like take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And I would say pray and ask God to give us the opportunities when they arise. Like they're outside checking the mail. They're outside doing their yard. To just walk across the street, how you doing? How's it going? Man, the grass is growing fast. Whatever it's going to take to get a conversation going, that's the hardest part.
Yeah, or just even complimenting someone's grass, seeing how green it is, really makes someone's day. But yeah, I love that. Dave, for those, you know, sometimes we're in situations where we don't have neighbors, or we're in apartments where I never really got to know my neighbors. I really honestly didn't want to get to know my neighbors when I lived in an apartment. Mm-hmm. But when I lived in my, just because we're in and out, people are moving out all the time, you know, and we really never got to see each other. It's hard. But once you get your home and it's yours, you really want to get to know your surroundings. So for those who first-time home buyers or are moving into a brand new neighborhood, any advice on how to get to know your neighbors but not be so pushy where you don't want to come off too strong? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think absolutely. And when you first move somewhere, you've got kind of a built-in opportunity to just say, hey, I just want to introduce myself. You know, and so that kind of breaks the ice. If because the funny thing is, there's a subconscious assumption that if I don't do that, I don't want to. And I come across as like kind of the cold guy who doesn't care about any of you people. And I feel like I'm cooler than you guys. I moved into this house and I don't care about you people who are already well established here. Even though that's totally not the case, it feels that way because, hey, we're here, you're here, you just moved into our yard, basically. And so there's almost a subconscious assumption that like you should come and introduce yourself. So it's a perfect opportunity, right? So I think taking advantage of that is important.
Absolutely. So we had a neighbor when we first...
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're ahead, a David. Neighbor of the person who just moved in, a kind act is to bring some baked goods or something of that nature.
That's
I know my wife
say.
Always does that. Yeah. half the time I think it's she's nosy, but the fact is, it's I'm teasing. She's great at that. But it's a great way for you to break the ice and bring them something and just say, hey, if there's something else you need that you don't have right now because you just moved in, and that happens all the time. Hey, I'm here. Right, just give us a call. You know, you need an onion, whatever. You know.
Yes. Exactly. And I think for the guys in particular, to be able to say, look, I'm noticing you're moving furniture in. Let me just let me jump in here and give you a hand. I noticed you're building a playground. Let me jump in and give you a hand. Like, that's a that's a huge difference maker.
Yeah, absolutely. David Dawson, Jr., Director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. Where can we find out more about you and what you do in the diocese?
Yeah, so the Office of Parish Support, and the website is htdiocese.org. And if you look up Office of Parish Support, we got plenty of stuff there to help get things moving at your parish. We're ready to rock to help get the whatever vision or whatever God's calling you to do at your parish. We've got excellent resources to help you get going.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Thank you so much, Dave, for joining us. Always looking forward to speaking with you on Thursdays. Looking forward to the next time.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Gina Marie Tennant joins us when we come back from the break. We'll be talking about Louis and Zelie, the holy parents of St. Therese. Stay tuned for this interview. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
After the hour, 12 before the top of the hour. Welcome back to Wake Up on a Thursday morning. So glad you could join us. With us now, Gina Marie Tennant. She is here to talk about the book Louis and Zelie, The Holy Parents of St. Therese. Good morning, Gina Marie.
Good morning.
So glad you're having me. Yeah, you're more than welcome. Hey, let's jump right into it. Louis and Zelie Martin, what a great couple. Great inspiration for some great saints within their own family. Give us a quick overview of who they are and what they were all about.
Well, Louis and Zelie were both from devout Catholic families, and they both desired to enter religious life. However, in their own ways, God showed them that that was not what he wanted of them. So they both started their own business. Louis was a clockmaker, and Zelie had her own lace-making business. Both were very successful with what they did, and their faith was of utmost importance to them. Then one April day, they crossed a bridge in their hometown and saw each other.
Yeah, that's really, I thought that was intriguing. They just walking across the bridge and say, hey, what's happening?
I know.
Let's get married.
Simpler times, right?
Well, you know, there was a little bit of stuff in between.
Yeah, I'm sure there was.
Yes, but they got married. It's interesting, in France at that point, you had to have a civil marriage and a religious marriage. They really desired to unify it as much as possible. Say the religious marriage at 10 p.m. on July 12th, and then the religious marriage at midnight on July 13th, so 2 hours later. And that was a common scene in that area at that time.
Okay.
To have your religious marriage at midnight. So they really unified that. And now their feast day is July 12th. So it's, you know, one of the wedding days, you might say.
Yeah.
Kind of. They didn't go any bed in between, so, you know, it just worked out that way. So it really showed that marriage, sanctity of marriage, you know, that unity.
Right, and they're the patron saints of marriage, widowers, illness, and parenting, which is critical in today's world. Share with us, because I believe they were the first couple to be canonized by the Catholic Church, right?
Yes, they are the first non-martyred couple canonized together. So their cases were joined together, and they were not the first couple beatified, but they were the first couple canonized. And there's really, they were joined together for this exact reason of showing that the married are joined, I mean, are called to sanctity. And, you know, this unity. So I love it. Both miracles, the miracle for beatification and the miracle for canonization, dealt with a baby who was dying. And both times, you know, then the baby is a miraculous healing. So that's something so dear to them.
Mm-hmm. And as a lot of people don't realize, they're really modern day saints to some degree, because they lived in the late 1800s all the way into the, you know, 1900s.
Well, the children lived in the 1900s.
Oh, I'm sorry, the children, right, yeah. Forgive me.
Yes,
it's fine. But yeah, but how many children became saints, including St. Therese?
Well, there's one canonized saint, St. Therese.
Okay.
The daughter, Leonie, is, I think, a servant of God still, but I know her cause has been opened. And the others at this point, as far as I know, their causes have not been opened.
Oh,
however,
okay.
That doesn't mean down the road they won't be. And, I mean, they had holy children, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
And then four of the children died young, age five or younger. So, you know, they're little saints, especially as babies. And they... Therese would actually say how she would pray to her little siblings in heaven to help her out. She mentions that in Story of a Soul.
Mm-hmm. And so why are we focusing on Louis and Zelie at this point? Because there's been a number of books. Anything in particular that really jumped out at you that you weren't aware of when you were doing the research and reading the letters of Louis and Zelie?
I think what really jumped out at me is how much their lives are similar to ours today. I mean, both of them were working, but they were both raising a family. And a lot of the problems they dealt with, we deal with these days, too. For instance, they had a lot of issues trying to get a good Catholic education for their children.
Mm-hmm.
They had problems, you know, having to monitor the peers for their children. And, you know, even what reading material their children read, and, you know, what society was trying to push upon their children. They had a deal of illnesses that are very common this day and age, dementia, breast cancer. They had a deal with a very anti-Catholic attitude in their area. There's just thing after thing that we deal with that they also dealt with. They had troublesome children. It wasn't like they had saintly children the way even Therese was a handful. So, you know, parents can really relate, and children can relate to them, too. I mean, it was not my idea originally. I loved them, but it was Ignatius Press who wanted this book. An editor suggested the idea to me. And then I jumped at it. St. Therese is my confirmation saint. I loved the idea. But, you know, they realized that this was somebody... people who would be really inspirational for young people these days, as well as their parents and just all adults. So I really thought about that in writing the book, that it's geared for like ages 9 to 15, but at the same time, adults can read it and get so much out of it and really be inspired by it, too. So, yeah.
And of course, you know, they produced a wonderful saint, St. Therese. Today begins her feast day. I should say the novena. Her feast day is October 1st. Also, the shrine for St. Therese. As I was doing some research, I didn't realize the National Shrine is in Darien, Illinois. Have you ever been?
I actually have not been.
Okay, neither have I, but I didn't know it was there.
Oh, yeah. You know, she's so popular in the United States as well as in the whole world.
Yeah. And last but not least, why was she known as the Little Flower or the Little Way?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. Reasons that aren't related to her parents, but let me just share this one that is related to them. So Louis picked this little flower when he was trying to discern his vocation. He was up at the Great St. Bernard Pass, Switzerland, and he picked this little white flower to kind of keep as a memento. It was found in his books after his death. Well, when Therese asks her father, may she join the Carmelites, he picks a little white flower for her and gives it to her and tells her that she is that little white flower that's being picked and being transported to new soil. He picks the root also at the same time. And so he's being transported to more fertile soil at Carmel. And doing so, he gives her his permission. And then she saves that little flower. So, in her books.
Oh, that's wonderful.
one thing. There's other reasons too. Like one of her favorite, he was a blessed and now he's a saint. But he called himself a little white flower also.
Gina Marie, well, thank you so much for being with us. We're out of time, but it was a pleasure speaking with you and learning more about Louis and Zelly Martin and the parents of Saint Therese. You have a blessed weekend if you can.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for joining us on Wake Up.
And that book about about Louis and Zelly Martin can be found at ignatius.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or Amazon or anywhere else probably.
In your local Catholic bookstore.
Yeah. We're going to wrap up with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving God, you bless Saint Therese with a capacity for a great love. Help me to believe in your unconditional love for each of your children. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll get you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. The Catholic Foodie joins us with the recipe. Kathleen Higgins with the Diocese of Baton Rouge talks about St. Padre Pio. And Haley Stewart talks about her new book, The Pursuit of the Pilfered Cheese, a.k.a. Mouse Nuns. This is going to be a great interview. We also have events in your listening area. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.